Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Gianna Rayburn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Hey there, bestie. I'm Lori Ami, your What to Read Next podcast host. Join me as we dive into exciting new reads that'll have you reaching for your TBR pile in no time. From gripping mysteries to spicy romances, we'll explore it all and help you find your next favorite book. So grab a cup of tea, cozy it up, and let's discover some amazing reads together. Hi, Tori. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast. I hope you're doing well. Tell us what you've been up to.
Thank you. Thanks for having me back on. I've been up to a lot, reading my way through 2024 and podcasting about it.
Yeah. We started the new season with two things. We started with a trailer of your new podcast, which we'll talk about it. And then we revisited your episode where you were just a newish reader in 2020.
I know.
Like, you were just getting your feet wet. And girl, you have surpassed me now.
Yeah, it's so funny. Yeah, I want to say thanks so much for supporting the podcast because, yeah, we met through my other podcast, Ready to Be Petty, and then Laura slid into my DMs when she saw that I was starting Ready to Be Romanced. And yeah, it's so funny. I started reading romance in like 2020, so I still feel very new to the space, and I only really started talking about it super publicly in 2022 with you. So I like being a new face, maybe a little less jaded, but
yeah.
But yeah, it's been a wild ride.
Yes, I've been reading romance since 2016 and I am in the jaded phase. I'm like, I've seen it all. I see book threads, I see threads, and they all, it's recycled drama. I'm like, I've seen this in drama like so many times. Or like this, we talk about bookish tea and how there's a lot of romance land, yeah, of drama and gossip. And I was like, we've seen this, like, I was like, yeah, it's been repeated like 5 years ago or 2 years ago. So
yeah, it's the same in the pop culture space for sure. Like, it's like, didn't this happen 5 years ago and stuff like that?
Yeah.
And we just never learn our lesson and just repeat the same mistakes. But yeah, it's fun to be on the sidelines and just doing it all.
So talk to us about your journey to start reading romance. Like, now that you've been looking back for 2020, how did you get started with romance? Did you find it on BookTok or early days of BookTok and then just kind of like went through the Kindle Unlimited bin?
Yeah, that's so funny. I was actually invited on a podcast, Boobies and Newbies, with our friend Kelly. Yes, our mutual friend Kelly. She and I had been mutuals on Instagram because of podcasting, and she loves pop culture. So she came on my show, and then she was like, hey, would you ever want to come on mine and read this romance novel? And I had always been a really big reader as a kid. We probably talked about this in 2022.
We did.
If people don't remember, I was a big reader in, yeah, my childhood and teens. And then when I went to university, I like completely stopped, like full stop. And I remember I would go to the local library because this was the other thing. It's like, this would have been in 2010. And it was so hard to get a book. E-readers were like just coming out, or like $1 million to purchase. So I would like literally take the bus to my library and get like, you know, two or three books out at a time and then take them back to my college dorm room, not read any of them because I was so busy with school and stuff and res life, which is another common thread between us. And I would be so busy that I wouldn't read them. And then I would have to just like return them in 2 weeks or whatever. So I just didn't really pick up a book since then. Like, of course, I've read some like maybe some social justice books or like self-help books and stuff like that. But like, reading for pleasure just like didn't come back into my life. And then truly Kelly invited me on the show. I read one book and I was like, oh, this is fun. This seems like a easy entry back into reading.
Mm-hmm. And the rest is history.
The rest is history. I think I've read about 400 books since 2020. Like, I'm averaging like 80 to 100 a year. So yeah, I really went like full tilt. But yeah, it's also very interesting coming into this space because I was also on TikTok, but I wasn't on Book Talk until I feel like maybe the past year. So yeah, it's just been, it's been fun, you know, being part of a new community and stuff like that. And yeah, I've enjoyed myself.
I love this. And so how do you read for yourself? Like, do you read ebooks, audiobooks, library books, Kindle Limited? You know, you're in Canada, so talk to us about the Canadian system because it's it's a little different from the U.S. system. I know we're, the book publishing is very U.S.-centric, but, you know, what is it like to read in Canada?
Yeah, totally. I'm a mostly ebook reader. I have like a, just the, you know, the classic Kindle.
Yep.
But before that, I had a Kobo, which I think is like, it's like Canadian. It's version.
Because library books are only sent on Kobos.
Yeah.
And you can technically, because I know now the Kobo Libra comes in color, so people are not buying it. They're illegally, because Kindle books, you do not own them. Amazon owns your Kindle books, which is shitty as hell.
Oh, interesting.
So they're illegally removing the protection so they can actually move the Kindle books to Kobo. So there's like a slowly movement towards the Kobo because it has colors and you can annotate.
Yeah.
But I know like for library systems, non-US libraries, you just have to, the books sent to Kobo as opposed to...
Yeah, it's so funny how the U.S. and Canada are similar in so many ways. And then there's just like these really slight differences that actually become really inconvenient.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do audiobooks, though, because I have a Spotify premium account and they offer like 15 hours of listening to audiobooks. So I just covered To All the Boys I Loved Before and Red, White, and Royal Blue. And I actually listened to those on Spotify Premium. And then the Libby app. I don't know if that's American.
It's American.
Okay, yeah. I use the Libby app a lot to, get books from my local library. So that's nice. But yeah, I wish I do kind of miss being a paperback reader. / literally walking down to like my beautiful public library down the street from where I live.
Yeah.
So I mix it up a little bit, but just out of ease and for like how much I'm reading and highlighting and taking notes for the podcast, I think ebook is really my best bet.
Yeah. I used to be a paperback reader for a long time. I was like my public library was near a public library, but not the fancy one that we see on TV. It's actually the regular branch. And I used to just go pick up my books like every other week and just like bring a stack of books and then just read them. And I haven't had that experience. I tried to do it when I was in Chicago, but I was like, not anymore. I've been an ebook reader. And right now I'm just mostly an audiobook listener. So
yeah, I really enjoy the audiobooks, especially the ones that are like narrated by a full cast and stuff like that. It's so immersive and so fun. So Yeah, I enjoy that.
Did you try the Echotars with the graphic audio?
Yes, that's how I reread them for the podcast because I had read them, or at least the first one or two prior to starting the show. Mm-hmm. So I had read those on my ebook and then I did the graphic audio ones, and especially for fantasy. And it is mostly, I guess, fantasy that are like graphic audio, but like, that really makes a difference. Whereas, like, if you're just reading like a contemporary romance, it's like you don't need a full cast.
You don't need sound effects.
Yeah, and sound effects and stuff like that. Yeah.
Well, I like when there's double point of view, where you have the male and the female POV and the voices. I like duet when there's like, so there's dual point of view, which is each chapter is spoken by the same narrator, but duet, if the male voices, the male dialogue will be, even though it's a female POV, there's a male dialogue, the male voice will actually intercede. And it's like a really cool experience. You're like, oh, okay.
I love it.
Thinking so.
Yeah, it's so funny when it is narrated by one person and they're doing all the voices.
Yeah.
And like, it can be hit or miss, to be honest.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. So let's talk about Ready to Be Romance. What is the podcast all about and where listeners can pick it up?
Yeah, you can find Ready to Be Romance wherever you get podcasts, wherever you're listening to this one. And the concept of the show, truly, I would say it's actually, I would bill it as a comedy show. Yeah. I feel like that's maybe the difference between my podcast and other romance podcasts is we recap the book and we review it and we have certain things we'll talk about for each book that we do for every single one of them. But I feel like we are like mostly a vibes only podcast. Like we have covered like Fourth Wing and ACOTAR, and I feel like so many people get into the nitty gritty about how the magic works and the types of dragons and like stuff like that. And we definitely talk about that stuff, but like it's also just like for fun.
Yeah.
It's from a comedy perspective, we are, you know, talking shit about the characters' outfits. We're laughing when the man walks in the Henley. We're LOLing when the, you know, shadow daddy is 1,000 years old and the female main character is like 20. Like, those are the things we are pointing out and discussing. And yeah, it's really fun.
The vibes only, so.
Definitely. Definitely.
So let's talk about some winners. What have been some of the winners that you have reviewed or recommend?
Yeah, it's funny. I've actually really enjoyed, so this might not be exactly your audience, but I've actually really enjoyed the two young adult, like the YA novels that we covered. We covered My Life with the Walter Boys because it came out as a Netflix adaptation.
Yep.
We covered Not the Summer I Turned Pretty, to All the Boys Loved Before, which is a Netflix movie series, obviously. So that has been really fun and really sweet. It's nice to look at romance from, you know, a variety of perspectives, a variety of like stages in people's lives. So I really enjoyed that. I loved re-looking at Twilight.
Yes.
Because I was a big Twi hard girly. Yeah.
We have a secret project coming out this
week. Yeah, we do. We do. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler.
But yeah, it was just really fun. I'm actually going to Forks this weekend, which is like going to be the trip of my lifetime. But
yes. Take pictures. Take us where you want.
Yes, I'll post some of them. But yeah, it's like those types of things that have been really fun, because when I started my other podcast, the whole premise of the show is like, I want to talk about things that are like embarrassing to other people, or that are deemed like superficial and like vapid or whatever. Like, I wanted to talk about High School Musical. I wanted to talk about Twilight. I wanted to talk about all of these things that a lot of people I feel like would be fans of, but in secret, especially if you're 31 like I am.
Yes.
And then I feel like the romance genre actually has that same thing. People are so embarrassed to talk about romance and what they like about it and what they're reading. And so, yeah, it's very like similar, like a very similar premise. Yeah. I also really, we did a monster romance. We did the Dragon's Bride and like just like blowing people's minds, which I know for you, you're just like, that's like an old hat at this point. But like you're like, that's literally nothing. But like, it literally blew some people's minds. Like,
I think you should do a Why Choose Romance if you haven't picked one up. Like, I think you should do that just to have a conversation about, like, why choose?
Yeah.
So too many dicks. Too many.
Yes, yes. Yeah. No, I 100% should. Yeah,
That could be, like, it'd be a fun one. You should be like, why choose? Like, you don't need to cheat on someone. You can have both, and they can actually like each other, too.
100%. Yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun.
Awesome. Okay, so what are your reading plans? Which books are you planning to read, or, like, you're planning not just to cover, but, like, you're looking forward to reading?
Yeah, okay, I'm really looking forward to reading My Lady Jane.
Yeah.
Because it's becoming, so I think, a prime adaptation.
Yeah
So I've been really into like pairing books that I'm reading and covering on the show when it's becoming like an adaptation. So I want to like they need to translate the Maxton Hall book
they
into
really
English.
I am so mad.
I'm shocked that they haven't.
I'm a Reddit thread and they're like, I found a translation that Google translates me like PDF. And I'm like, yeah, but that's not the same. I need someone later. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's not as good, but it might have to suffice for right now. I'm really excited for that one.
I'm excited for Maxton Hall season two. I am obsessed with Maxton Hall. Like the whole boarding school, spoiled rich boy who plays lacrosse and a poor,
iconic
good girl. It's like the recipe for the greatest love story that we
of course. 100%. Yeah. It was really, really good and kind of like a sleeper hit almost. Yeah. Not that it only came out in May and is a big success. So not a sleeper hit in that way, but I think it's just like there was no coverage on it beforehand. No. Yeah, when we usually get a lot of lead up. I'm also gonna read, this is kind of a curveball, I would say, but the QB Bad Boy in Me, which is a Wattpad turned like published book.
Yeah.
That Noah Beck is starring in the movie adaptation for. And they are filming it in Victoria, which is where I live.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. So have you walked on sets? Have you been walking by and like, how does that work for you? Because when I live in New York, we used to have signs. New York will tell you when the street was closing and it will tell you where it is, what the project is. Unless it was top secret, it was like sex and city, you're not supposed to. But like most of the time they tell you what it is. Then you walk on set. I used to live across the street from City Hall. So I used to see Law and Order, and they used to use, I work at Pace, which is a university, and the Law and Order SBU used to use our bathrooms because they didn't have bathrooms.
Oh, interesting. Outside.
So like we'll see them randomly, Mariska Hargitay, like walking around down the hall for the bathroom, you know, But I'm curious like how other cities like, you know, hide or they announce like, hey, we're filming here.
Yeah, it's funny because people really call Vancouver and like the area that I live, they call it Hollywood North because we get so much tax rate or the production company gets such big tax write-offs.
Yeah.
When filming in at least my province, I don't know if it's everywhere in Canada. But because we're such a sleepy town, like this is the city that Meghan and Harry escaped to. After they left the royal family, they came to Victoria. So, like, we just really let people, like, do their own thing. Lots of Hallmark movies film here. They turn, like, our downtown into, like, you know, Christmas Tinseltown and stuff like that. But it's so funny how little, I think, like, secrecy they have to do. Like, I literally know, like, where they are filming and stuff like that. And they just... No one really shows up, I feel like, because we all just kind of, like, mind our own business here. I think that's one of the, the good things. But I would be very happy to randomly bump into Noah Beck somewhere downtown.
That would be amazing. I hope you manifest that in the woo-woo vibes, girl. We're just going to get the energy. You put it in the vortex.
I love that.
Awesome. So any other shows that you're looking forward to, or movies are coming up, any pop culture, you know, any pop culture predictions that you have that have come true, and then the ones that are like, you know, you predict something, you know, for Justin Timberlake getting arrested. It's a sweet.
Oh my God. Then, yeah, that was like the wildest morning just because I feel like he has kept a pretty low profile personally. He had like a little like pseudo cheating scandal a few years ago when he was like, he was with a colleague. I think he was filming a movie or something like that and was like kind of getting touchy with her in New Orleans on like a balcony. And there's pictures that leaked. But it's like that was kind of the last like scandal I feel like he had. And I feel like he was kind of on his redemption story with NSYNC and his tour and all of that stuff, and then this came out and I was like, oh, you messed that up. But like, whatever, I like I don't think he's like a good person. Yeah. I think he's like stepped on a lot of people to get to where he is. I kind of feel bad how he like ditched NSYNC and how he treated Britney Spears and Janet Jackson. And so, you know.
Karma's a bitch.
I was just going to say, karma's a bitch. He should have known better. And
and I'm so glad that the police officer did not know who you are. I was like, I know I feel old because I'm actually his age. I'm 42. I'm turning 43 this year. But he's so glad that he's like, oh, this is going to mess up the tour. What kind of tour? The world tour? I'm a celebrity. Get me out of here. I'm like, sir, no.
Yeah. And it's in those moments that I really see how celebrities operate, because, you know, we saw that like a very similar conversation with when Zach Bryan got arrested, when Reese Witherspoon got arrested. Like, it's ridiculous.
So any pop culture predictions?
Yeah. And I'm trying to think like what I'm looking forward to. I honestly didn't predict, like, something that I didn't predict was like Bridgerton kind of flopping this season. Like, I feel like it's will always be a show that is watched by, you know, 45 million people or whatever. But that was something I was really really didn't think was even in the realm of possibility, to be honest. And I just was like, wow, I was bamboozled.
I only watched 3 episodes, so did not watch the carriage scene, did not watch any of the new episodes. Some already spoiled it for me, and I think we're going to keep it that way.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, honestly, the first 4 episodes, I think, are really good. The, like, 5 to 8, I feel like, are, like, a little bit rough, to be honest. Yeah. Do I have any other pop culture predictions or anything? I just think, like, speaking of, like, pop culture and the romance genre, I just think, like, probably because of some of the, like, consequences, I guess, of book talk, like, I really think that we are having a renaissance in movies and TV shows that are going to be based on books. Like, that is also something I think I didn't really predict. It really feels like it used to in, like, the 2000s, and I'm happy for that.
I just had a conversation with an author who's a screenwriter, and she said it's like she was frustrated that as a screenwriter a lot of the jobs now are just adapting original intellectual property. And so she was like, she would complain with her agent. She's like, well, you need to write your own book. She's like, okay, I'm gonna write my own book. She actually, her books are fabulous. But it was like funny enough, like, even screenwriters are like, now their job is to adapt as opposed to, you know,
create something brand new,
original IP. So I think, it's definitely acquiring is a big business right now. Not a lot of things get off the ground, but the ones that are getting off the ground are doing really well. We got The Idea of You did really well. Yeah, Bridgerton has done really well, even though it's like flop. We have Red, White, and Royal Blue, and they're getting well. It's an interesting time to be a reader.
And there's been some of the, like, Spanish A books.
Yep.
Mia Culpa.
Yep. That one did really well.
What's the other one? Atravesti Mi Ventana.
Atravesti Mi Ventana? I haven't seen it. Which one is, what series is this?
That one, like, I think it takes place in Barcelona. I remember I watched the first movie, and then I was like, I'm going to read the book.
Yeah.
And then I must have, like, fallen off.
Yeah.
And then my friend was like, oh, have you seen this series? There's 3 movies. And I was like, oh, my God, what? I watched the first one, like, a year or two ago and just totally forgot.
So I may try that one, actually, for sure.
Yeah. I also was going to say to you, guess what I was watching this weekend? Midnights in the Para Palace.
So what did you think?
I loved it. I haven't finished. I think it's 10 episodes. I'm probably like 7 in.
Yeah.
It's really fun. I really like historical. Like, I really liked Cable Girls and and Grand Hotel. Like, I really like that type of historical. Like, I love, oh my gosh, I'm going to forget the name. The one that takes place in New York.
Gilded Age?
Gilded Age, yes. I love that type of era of TV shows. Yeah. So, yeah, Midnights at the Pear Palace is, like, it's really good. Yeah, it's fun. The Turkish adventure, drama, romances. Yeah.
I am all here for the Turkish. Is this one on Netflix or is it on, what streamer is it?
I think it's Netflix.
I think so. Netflix is acquiring it. So my show, my other show, as the Turkish TV Obsessed that I do co-host in another space, we're watching As the Crow Flies, which I think you should watch because it's actually like, it's a news agent. It's like the morning show meets like thriller vibes. So the opening scene starts with a bang. You're like two women fighting. You're like, what is going on? And so we get a manipulative intern who is like totally scamming and scheming and manipulating shit. And then we got the big, like, the newscaster kind of deal. And they're, like, fighting, but they don't know they're fighting. It's so fucking good.
This looks really good. So just wait. This is, it is a...
At the Crow Flies, there's three seasons.
Three seasons each.
But my co-host actually watched it. And she said she has watched it multiple times. She says it gets better and better each season. So
it looks really good. It looks right up my alley.
Yes. So, and then Thank You Next, if you haven't watched that one, that's another one that I start watching. And it's about like she's getting divorced or something. And it's like, it's a more flirty, more rom-com-y one. So
love it. Love it. These are great.
So yeah,
we got some
suggestions of what to watch, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all good. Tori, tell us where you can find me online.
Yeah, you can find me on socials at Ready to Be Romance, and then you can find my podcast, Ready to Be Romance, on all podcast platforms.
Awesome. Thank you, Tori, for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining me on this episode of the Watch Read Next podcast. If you enjoy our bookish conversations and want more recommendations, don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Also, head on over to the Watch Read Next blog for a list of books mentioned in today's show. Happy reading! Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? Watch Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit watchreadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.